from the crate, thanks to your friendly neighbourhood record store, Southbound Records.
I don't know what you guys have been going to the segment. What are you? What? Hey, Troy. I could destroy this whole segment with that, couldn't I? It's that one little 9 seconds thing.
Have I got a microphone?
You have now.
Now I get the microphone.
Hi, Troy. Hey, everyone. It's Troy from Southbound Records. Yeah.
Hello. Well, we got some good ones today.
What would you like to start with?
I don't know. Actually, I do know. I know what we're going to start with. We're going to start with there is a brand new compilation from the fantastic Soul Jazz label.
Yeah, Joe.
You're going to like this. Here we go. Soul Jazz presents Studio One. Oh,
that's a great
Black cover. Man's
look
Pride.
That.
Look at that.
Look at first studio Black Man's Pride Soul Jazz Records featuring Elton Hellis, Horace Andy, The Heptones, John Holt, Johnny Osborne, Dennis Brown, Freddie McGregor, and more. Double LP and awesome. That's a really cool cover.
What do you think of the costume? Or the
it's traditional, I'd say, that costume, wouldn't you?
I'm not
or maybe
sure.
Not actually, maybe just it's improvised.
I think it's just improvised and cool. Anyway, this
it's
is
like a, it's a, basically okay, so what we're talking about is a
shepherd's crook, is it not, that he's holding?
A gentleman with a shepherd's crook, or is that some sort of
I think that's what it is.
He's got a pen in his pocket as well.
Yeah. Excellent.
He's got a pen in his pocket, he's got a bolo tie on. He's got one of those weird 70s jackets. He's got a faraway look in his eyes and an improvised turban. Black and white photo. But he looks like a man of character and an interesting man who has got dreams and aspirations.
As you can see on that, he's looking into the distance thinking, my dreams and aspirations almost come true.
Play me some of this natty music, is that what he's saying?
Well, he would be saying that if it was a slightly different kind of compilation. What we have here is a period of Cox and Dodds Studio One where it was sort of on the verge of things going all roots and natty.
How would you describe that verge?
I would say that you would call this would still be classified as early reggae for the most part. But early meaning
what year,
like... we're talking like round about 1970 up to maybe 75 or something. It was before the Rasta
I was going to say, does it have an influence of Jah Rastafari in
there? There is some Jah Rastafari on here, although most of it is more socially conscious type material rather than religious consciousness. And it's actually a really good period for Cox and Dodds Studio One. Like you said, like what it said on the sticker, Horace Andy, Heptones, John Holt, Johnny Osborne. Can we go wrong with any of those? No, we can't.
No, it's big hitters. Big hitters for a double LP.
Big hitters. And we have here, I think the one we'll go for is, it's kind of the and I say kind of because it was released under a few different titles, but it's kind of the title track of Black Man's Pride. Now, this is an excellent tune by...
Do you say that because it's called Black Man's Pride?
The album?
The song.
The song is called that in this case, but Elton Hellis, who did the song, had recorded it a couple of other times with a couple of other producers, and it's variously known as Black Man's Word, Black Man's World. I think possibly it's even the same song as Black Man, White Man. But when he recorded it for Cox and Dodd, with the Soul Vendors backing him, it was Black Man's Pride. And that was 1971. And I think this is, I mean, Elton Hellis is primarily known as being more of a smooth rock steady soul sort of guy, which he
because
sort
it
of
could
is
be
on
known
this.
As a smooth rock steady soul sort of guy, wouldn't it?
I think so.
I wanted to call my son smooth.
Why didn't you?
Wasn't into it, mate.
Oh, okay.
We upgraded in Kaist. You know,
is that really your son's name?
Kaist.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So Black Man's Pride.
Pretty cool.
Well, I'm sure. How's that going to go down at school?
Well, they don't care. They're school. Have you met some modern kids, what they're called?
No, I haven't.
Hot air balloon, hot air balloon. I've met a Serengeti.
My father once taught a student called Twinkle Nip.
Are you serious?
My brother's girlfriend went to school with a guy called Sunshine Donk. No offence to you if you're listening there, Sunshine.
And massive shout-outs to all of those people.
Yeah!
Yeah,
colourful names. Anyway, so let's go. What have we got
Alton Ellis, of course, also kind of a colourful name. Not as colourful as his sister, who he made records with in the 60s, Hortense. Alton and Hortense Ellis, yeah.
Well, hello, Hortense.
Black Man's Pride, 1971. It's Alton Ellis back with the Soul Vendors. It is a great tune.
That's what it says on the box, isn't it?
Sure is.
When the black man's word was spoken.
Here it is, a rock steady, smooth kind of guy, isn't it? Yeah.
And the white man's heart. It was a token. Yeah. We have suffered over.
You're right though, I've played this on a Saturday and it's called Black Man's Word, the version I have.
Did he forget?
I mean, no, listen, it's such a great song. If you're signed by a different producer to go and make a song, they'll
just go and re-record Teen Spirit and record something else.
Exactly. The one
excellent.
You're talking about is probably Mrs. Pottinger's version that was on Treasure Isle.
It got re-released as a 45 in 2011, I think.
What is the label?
Oh, pass. So, no idea. Is that one of those white ones with scarce information on it? Hold on.
You mean a white label?
No, not a white label.
You mean a Jamaican release?
No, come on, guys, a re-release. It's stealing me of my money.
You can't say that buying records is stealing. I'm just finding this to myself now, but you can't say that it's stealing your money, because it's building your character.
Treasure Isle or Treasure Island.
Okay, Treasure Isle, that version was Mrs. Pottinger produced that one. Yeah.
Who is Mrs. Pottinger?
Mrs. Sonia Pottinger, one of the great 60s record producers.
Ooh.
Yeah. This is Mrs. Pottinger.
Mike's getting his mask out again.
I didn't get it out, I just picked it up.
Okay.
I don't believe that text someone just sent in that my girlfriend taught twins by the names of Benson and Hedges.
That's horrifying.
Horrifying. And bad for you. Hey, I'm sorry. So that's Alton Ellis, Black Man's Pride, and that's just one of the tracks on this double LP, heavy vinyl, obviously.
Heavy vinyl, the usual soul jazz attention to detail and quality.
So this is not a re-released compilation, is it?
No,
this is a fresh compilation.
Yeah.
It does have a feel, though. It looks like it's an old, authentic, vintage beauty, doesn't it?
It does. But
I mean, it's got some black and white.
The Dennis Brown tune I wanted to point out is Created by the Father, which is one that seems forgotten now. But what a song.
What's next? What is that on CD as well?
Yes, it is. Do you like this? Do you like this?
Well,
tune?
I do. No, reggae is not my thing.
I think we're changing.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're realising it's different than you thought it was.
I really like this era of stuff, and slightly earlier, that, you know, the stuff like I said before that almost sounds like skiffle.
Yeah, this skinhead reggae, ska. Mm. Okay. Mm. So basically, it seems to me that the only period of reggae you're
not so
keen on.
You're talking to me like you're a reggae doctor.
Okay,
do you enjoy this? Okay, do you enjoy talking about that? Mm-hmm.
So do you know what I'm going to prescribe you next?
We're going to start. I'm familiar with old this fellow. Eka Mouse!
Now, this is a re-released compilation we have here. This is one of Soul Jazz's most famous compilations.
This is Soul Jazz again, yeah?
Yeah. This comes out again this week, along with an update of the book, which initially came out at the same time, a hardback book with photographs of the dancehall era. This one...
I was going to say, it's called The Rise of Jamaican Dancehall Culture, and the name of the album is Dancehall.
Yep. Now, this is... Maybe two or three dancehall comps came out from Soul Jazz, but this one here is the definitive. Now, this here is the super definitive version. Can you tell me why, young man?
Because
it has the three LPs. It also has three CDs. Two of them are an expanded version of the album you have in there, and the last CD, which is in that record cover as well, is an audio documentary about dancehall.
Cool.
So there you get it all in this one little package. How's that?
And there's a couple of songs here from some folks I do know. Eka Mouse there. That's not the Clint Eastwood I'm thinking of. It's a different Clint Eastwood. In a Kamosi.
Yep, Denny Kamosi.
Was that under me hot? Was that here comes the hot stepper? Murderer, lyrical dancer. Excuse me, Mr. Manager. That one. That's and then, of course, there's a track here by
Mr. Manager, Mr. Officer.
Oh, both. Whatever. But we're remembering my good friend Swanee just a few moments ago, and Swanee and I used to really enjoy singing a song by one of the artists here, Chuck Demons and Pliers. Tease me, baby. But that's not the song on here. This is a little bit more credible.
Well, I don't know if anything is not credible, you know.
True, that's actually a kick-ass song, Tease Me.
Yeah.
Want to know, who's Pliers? Which one of you is Pliers?
You know which one's Pliers.
One's Chuck and Emerson, one's Pliers.
One has glasses.
Okay, well, what about Florence and the Machine?
I don't know who the Machine is, I'm sorry.
Exactly.
I have seen Florence, though. Junior Mervyn's on here as well. Cutty Ranks. Gregory, the great Gregory Isaac. Trinity doing Uptown Girl. This is just killer. This is... I kind of remember this era when all of this stuff was first coming out. We're talking like between about 81 and 84, I suppose. And it still sounds really bright and nice.
Hard to get back then, though, for a lot of people. Wasn't it the HMV stores?
Well, back when I'm thinking of, I remember it was quite easy to get Greensleeves LPs and things like that over here, and Greensleeves put out a lot of nice dancehall-ish stuff, including what we're going to hear, which is Eka Mouse. This again, actually, with the song I'm going to play, obviously the one that everyone knows, Wairu Dem, is in fact a re-recording of a tune that he had done earlier with Joe Gibbs, which was then called Virgin Girl, and it's pretty much the same lyrics, except on Virgin Girl this doesn't happen.
So he just sort of took it, had it flourish.
Yeah, well, I think he made sense of it more, you know.
Me say me love her for me virgin girl, Jano. Me really love her so, Jano. Me really love.
Really
her.
Loves that virgin girl.
Pick that up so far. Fancy rose to match her clothes, Jano. Be me virgin girl, Jano. Be me virgin girl. Me love to see her when I hear full of girl. Anyway, she got people love her in the world.
Well, it's nice he's been affectionate, isn't it?
Basically, what he's saying in this song is he's just
clear what he's saying.
I think you're misunderstanding what he might mean by virgin, but that's all right. Virgin Islanders referred to as virgin.
Oh, yes, no, right, of course. You can see how I got confused, though, can't you?
I can see. Now, he's describing her. She wears a nice rose to match her clothes. He loves the curls in her hair. He likes the fact she's not materialistic. Everywhere she goes, everywhere in the world, people love her, you know.
Hello, I love you.
Yep. And then the subject of the song is basically comes in the last two verses, which is when he walks down the Kingston Mall or in the Kingston Park with her, whole load of people point and laugh because she's too short and me too tall. Eka Mouse was a very tall, skinny youth, and so that's why
write a song about it. Yeah.
That's why this is Wairu Dem.
That's going to do wonders for her self confidence. Compliment. You're really
short. I think his heart's
in the right place as most dancehall performers and artists.
Sometimes
they get a bit mean, but other times they can be they still sing from the heart, don't they? And that's what we've got in this compilation. It's three LPs.
It's not all what we have on this. There is, of course, Yellow Man's doing Bam Bam on this, but never mind.
No, this is the thing, you bring in all these must-haves. So, yeah.
It is a great one.
Sister Nancy on there as well, who's coming soon.
Yes.
Rupake Roots Festival, I believe. Only woman DJ with degree.
Yeah.
Shit, yeah.
There you go. That's what it's called, yeah. Because that's the truth. Or was it the time?
Good job.
Dude, I really think that this tune here is there's nothing mean-spirited about it. It's just
look, Troy,
really
don't let me carry the favour of the influence of the listeners. no one's going to go, well, Mike did comment on that reggae song, and I do trust his intricate knowledge of the genre.
Spirit up.
Got an update on the name front.
Yep.
Another person texts in saying, my mother nursed the young twins Benson and Hedges, and also an Elton-John.
Elton-John. Well, if you think Eka Mouse is a funny sort of name, this guy's real name, I think, was... I think it's something like Realton Hilton. it's an unusual name like that.
I love the whole sort of where Eka Mouse is such an unusual moniker to go by.
Now, do you know where it comes from?
No, I'd love to know. That's where I'm getting for that.
Okay. Do you remember a number of weeks ago we talked about poor old Longshot kicking the bucket?
Ah, we did too.
The horse, racehorse.
Yeah, we did too.
Eka Mouse was a racehorse that Mr. Hilton consistently bet on, and guess what? It always lost. So his buddies started referring to him as Eka Mouse. Eka Mouse.
And he thought, well, since everyone's teasing me by calling me that, I think I'll call myself that for my professional career.
Reclaim it.
Yeah. Oh, no. Good on you, Eka Mouse. What else we got, Troy?
The last one is another reissued compilation. Now, this one came out about, it was in the early 2000s, and it was the first time most people were introduced to a particular form of music. And I brought this in specifically because I knew that that's a look you're going to be rocking.
I
probably need to be lose a bit of weight to rock that look, but that is a good. I mean, what
describe the look. It's a 70s look, yeah.
It's
polyester white collar.
It's a tucked in blue denim look shirt, tucked into a pair of
denim look. I like it.
For tan, what do you call that? Tan ochre coloured pants there, which themselves are tucked into some knee high, in fact, white platform boots. And you've got a dude there, and this album's called Nigeria 70, the definitive story of 1970s funky Lagos. And he's just leaning there, just going, what's up? What is up? There he is there.
That is an outfit that says, what's up?
That guy totally knows what's up. If you also look at the sleeves of his shirt, the way that they're puffed and flared like that,
he likes a bit of air going through, you know.
Flared sleeve, yeah.
It's already in, you know, it's Nigeria, it's warm over there, you know. There's some breeze going through that shirt if you're going to tuck it in that tight.
So Nigeria 70 is, of course, the first of the strut compilations focusing on Nigeria. There's something of a misnomer in calling it not the definitive story part, but... Well, the fact that it says 1970s funky Lagos, as some of you know, Lagos is in the west of Nigeria.
I didn't know that.
Lagos is in the west, over almost at the on the coastline. Now, some of this stuff, including the one we're going to hear, is from the east of Nigeria.
Right.
And east.
So they're just
Nigeria.
jumping into that sort of genre category genre.
Well, no, possibly even the songs which didn't come from Lagos were popular in Lagos, and that's what they were meaning by it. Now, that eastern area between the years of 1967 and 1970, in fact, January 18th, 1970, I believe it finished, was the Biafran Secession War. Where Biafra attempted to secede from Nigeria itself, and there became a three-year civil war. Now, a lot of horrible, awful shit happened in that war. One of the most notable to the world at the time, I think, was because food and supplies were stopped going in there. It led to like a hideous famine, the Biafran famine, and that was the first time you saw those awful pictures of children with swollen bellies, and you know the classic starving Biafran look, whatever. Anyway, it was a terrible civil war. Even though that when it ended, I think it was the official line was no victors and no vanquished. So you know, nobody was
nothing.
None of the rebels, so to speak, were punished. Whatever. Anyways. Why I'm bringing that stuff up is because the group The Funkees that we're going to hear from. Now, The Funkees had started during that Biafran War, and they were from the area that was Biafra, in quotation marks. They were from the east. Famously, their first ever gig happened the day before the war ended, and they played all night in a dance hall.
It ended the war.
They decided to play and let people dance all night because they could hear the troops coming. Nigerian troops coming. Wow. We're just going to play. They played all night. After the war finished, and then they were like, they gave themselves up, and they were like, what happened then was when there was a reunification period, the different Nigerian forces would like take entertainers to either cheer up the troops or to try to ease some tension with the people who were
do what music does best.
Exactly. Although oftentimes you weren't really given a choice about that. The Funkies were taken, did this thing, attempted an escape, hog-tied beat and all that sort of stuff. Eventually they found themselves in Aba. Now Aba is sort of southeastern Nigeria, and that's where they sort of became what they became known for, in fact as far away as England.
Wow.
The tune we're going to hear is called Dancing Time. Now, it's one of the few...
That's a big backstory for a tune. Awesome.
Sorry.
It's awesome. But, I love it.
Now, Dancing Time was one of their first few 7-inches released in Nigeria that was in English. The official language of Nigeria is English, but usually they sung in their dialect, which was the Igbo dialect, I-G-B-O, which was the main ethnic group of eastern Nigeria. But Dancing Time... This is why I brought up some of that backstory. I can imagine that this song, which, like all funky songs, is kind of based on the vibe of Santana and James Brown, like all funky songs, has no chorus. It's just simply about the thing.
Dancing time for dancers.
Yeah. I like to think that this is what they were playing when the troops were on the horizon.
At the door, almost. Yeah. For dancers.
Dancing time, yeah. Come on, let's move together.
That's so cool. Wow.
It's dancing time, yeah. Come on, let's move together.
Okay, this time they were a five-piece group. Listen to that. Yeah.
It'd be hard to be in a band like this because you'd be trying to play your instruments, but you just would be wanting to dance as well.
I'm sure that's exactly what they were doing.
Let's move together. Let's move together. Now, to the funka, darling, dance, yeah, yeah. Whoa, 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 whoa.
It's a simple message, but it's really nice.
Hello.
Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Running stereo organs here. What's going on? Ooh.
I think
that's one of my favourite sounds in the world, that organ.
Sorry, a bit of rotating speaker.
It's so mean sounding.
I think you're meaning the Leslie speaker.
The Leslie. It's called the Leslie. Sort of sounds like a car and an instrument at the same time and a spaceship.
I think it sounds like hope and joy.
It sounds like an era.
Okay.
So, the other thing I really love about the song is how it winds up. You've got to hear the last section after this instrumental breakdown. Oh, you'll hear what I mean. Fantastic.
So, what's like the other stuff on the album? Similar or worth? I mean,
other stuff is like Fella Ransom Cootie in the Africa 70, who we all know. Orlando Julius in the Afro Sounders. This is a tune on here, Alo Mi Alo, which he vaguely redid with the Heliocentrics a few years ago. The great Mono Mono are on here.
I'm a big fan of the Yadu sisters,
yeah. Great. King Sunny Ade and his African beats.
It's because they've got the African beats with them.
Yeah.
Hey, and what sort of time period are we talking? It says 70s, but I mean, is it 70s/80s/90s, or is it 70s?
No, it's 70s. It's like 70s/69/71. Kind of.
Yeah.
Okay, you ready?
All right. Here we go.
Now, to the funky, darling, dance.
And then
he told you. Yeah.
That's that.
The war is over.
Amazing. Now, what I've got to do is I've got to correct what I said, because I got ahead of myself before, and I said that the triple album set with the all the CDs, it's actually this Nigeria 71. It's not the Dancehall one.
Ah, good trick.
But
so the Dancehall one's still got three discs.
It's a 3 LP set. This Nigeria 70, also a three LP set with a 3 CD set. That's what I meant.
Okay, and that's inside the album, inside that package you've got right there?
Yep.
Oh, cool.
Yep.
And are they available on CDs, just CDs for CDs? People that just still
Dancehall,
on the CDs?
Yes. Yep. Nigeria 70, no.
And that first album, for people who might have missed it?
First album that we did was the brand new Soul Jazz collection called Studio One, Black Man's Pride.
Thank you, Troy.
Thank you so
Lovely
much.
To see you.
From the crate, thanks to Southbound Records, 132 Simon Street, next to T. White Spikes.